I think the key thing is value. If people give you their information, if they agree to be contacted and agree that you can keep in touch with them in any shape or form, don't take it for granted. Don't spam the poor bastards. Try and actually give them things that they will appreciate and will improve the relationship you've got. Because guess what? You will end up going in for those listings uncontested.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, everyone. It's Sam here. Today's guest is someone I've known for the past 5 years or so. And in an industry where sometimes it can be the loudest and the flashiest people who seem to get all the attention, we've decided to try and change that bit by highlighting some of the really good people in the industry that just go about doing a great job for their clients. Of course, by doing the work, but also by keeping abreast of modern developments in technology and by doing things their way. So today, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Joe Mooney, who's been selling for about 10 years in the competitive suburb of Cranbourne in Victoria. She is a master at blending technology, data, marketing, and creating an awesome service for her clients that goes well beyond just selling houses. So Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's a very nice introduction.
Look, I made it up myself, and you are the first this new series that we're doing that is just really highlighting some of the good agents, and I'm absolutely delighted you agreed to be here so that I could pick your brains.
I've tried to leave some space for today. Yes, brain is engaged. We're okay.
Amazing. Amazing. So I've known you for a while, but to kick things off for everybody else, can you just share a little bit about your background and what led you to pursue a career in real estate? Like, the question I always ask everyone is, did you choose real estate or did real estate choose you?
I 150,000,000% chose real estate. So it sounds really weird and I feel crazy when I say it, but it was always on my bucket list.
Wow.
So not dead yet, which is good. So My background my first jobs and everything was in print media and marketing. I'm a traditional typesetter. So back in the day, when we were selling down here in Melbourne, when houses were selling in the Age newspaper, they would be the product of my work, basically. And we used to develop campaigns for inner city agents and things. And I loved all that part of it. And I just sat there and I said, one day, that is what I'm going to do. But then I had some sales jobs as well, then went into hospitality with my own businesses. And then the time was right. I knew, knowing what I'm like, I don't do anything in halves. So knowing what I would then be, you know, late nights, weekends, just basically having a lifestyle of real estate. When I got to a point where I felt my marriage could survive it and that my life could do it, then the opportunity came up, excuse me. And I haven't looked back since.
Amazing. And so do you remember the first property you ever sold?
Perfect introduction to the world of real estate. I sold a block of land. That was my first contract that I put together, only to be told by a senior agent in the office the next day that it was his sale.
Welcome to real estate.
Correct. So that was memorable, I suppose. So technically I don't remember the first sale, but I remember the first non-sale, if that makes sense. The first sale that I didn't get paid for was that one.
That will do. And without getting too philosophical or anything, but this is kind of a philosophical question. If you could sort of, you know, time machine yourself back 10 years now, what advice would you give 10 years ago, Joe, entering real estate?
Okay. This one's not so much philosophical, but it's kind of on the topic that I think we're going to be talking about today. I fought so hard against data, as in updating CRMs, keeping good records. I was shiny, 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 off, 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 do, do, do. Knowing now what I know, what the value is of that stuff.
God, if I had a only.
Yeah.
would have changed things significantly a hell of a lot quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we are going to talk about data today, but I just want to know one more thing before we kind of get into the deep dive on stuff is that Cranbourne, did I say that right? Is that the way?
Well done. Yeah. Normally Sydney, Queensland has got Cranbourne. Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely Cranbourne.
Yeah, Cranbourne. Okay. So tell me just a little bit about the area. What's the market been like in the past year? What kind of properties do you sell?
So we've got quite a mix. We are in the sort of the growth corridor. So we have a lot of new housing estates expanding out into Clyde North, small blocks, you know, little houses. But we also have we're sort of within 15 to 20 minutes of coastal. We have lifestyle properties, small acreages and things like that as well. So we do have quite a mix of property styles. Our most active buyer database buyers are first home buyers. And then obviously they're buying into what people are downsizing to and trading in.
Yeah. And what's the market been like over the last 12 months?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. So obviously we all came off the peak of the crazy. We are very affected because we are in the first home buyer area and you know, blue collar. We have been very affected by interest rates. That being said, days on market stretched out. The crash hasn't happened. There's been a softening. There's been more randomness in results and time on market and everything and the number of buyers per property. But well positioned, well priced, well marketed are still doing okay. It just was just taking longer to get people through to contracts.
I guess that is the thing. Like a lot of people in this industry will say, so long as it's just weather out there, the market is the weather. And if something's priced, then it will still sell.
We're not traditionally an auction market, and we are seeing some in the change of market that we've got now. We are seeing some trying to push down that path, but I've been monitoring it pretty closely because, again, data, and going to the auctions and things like that for my own knowledge. And with a clearance rate of under 40% in our patch, I'm like, I just don't see that as being a viable direction for us yet, if that makes sense. But, you know, every area evolves over time too.
Yeah, never say never.
No, exactly, which is why I was out there having a look at it and just making my assessment and getting my facts, and then I know what I'm talking about. Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. So we caught up recently at the Melbourne AI Powered Agents Workshop, which was all about, you know, technology and data and all of that sort of thing has become very integral in the landscape, as you mentioned. And I feel like you were all over it. Like, you know, you were sort of like, you know, top of the class. I probably taught me a thing or two as well that day. So
learning is learning. What I loved about that was it was all, I could do stuff straight away. And as ideas come into your head, it's like, oh, if you can action. So that's the difference. You go to a training or you go to a training day or a seminar or something, you write notes, you go away and you pretty much do nothing with it. But because we could start on projects in there, it was like, oh, this is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Most instructors don't like hearing typing, but I love it. typing means implementation, which is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas normally it's. But for what we were doing that day, it was a great day. But for what we were doing, being able to go, hang on, slow down. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, cool. So I guess, you know, like you are all over the ChatGPT thing. Can you share a bit about what you've been doing with ChatGPT or some of your other favorite technology tools lately, excluding your newsletter, because I want to have a full dive to that.
Yeah. Well, last night, for instance, so I had a very, very distracting day yesterday with the stuff going on. And I had a newsletter that I had to bring out last night to dispatch this morning. And when your brain's sort of stretched in five different directions, the best way is to open up chat and tell it what you're thinking and then just keep refining it. So today's newsletter was basically the blog on that was essentially AI with me editing it afterwards and things like that. I get it to write video scripts. I now get it to analyze news topics, things that people might be wanting to know about that I don't actually understand 100% myself, and I'm looking for some more insight to get some more confidence around it so that I can speak to my marketplace about it and not be bluffing everything. But it's not a fact checker, if that makes sense, like, because you can't be 100% guaranteed that everything is spot on. But if we're busy, agents are busy, and we're not super brain focused people. We do like shiny stuff and we do get dragged from pillar to post. So sometimes I kind of almost use it as a focusing tool to get the job done of what I actually need to get done. I don't always use the finished result, but it is part of my process now. If I'm having trouble writing some copy, I have not yet, and I don't think I ever will 100% use it for writing copy descriptions, that sort of thing, but it gets the juices going.
Yeah, I find that too, actually. It's, you know, if you never have to start now with, I used to find the hardest bit of doing some things here was the blinking cursor and the blank. Yes. You know, I remember in the early days of the brief, that's, you know, I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start with that. And, you know, and I think back now, if I'd had the robot, God, it would have been so much easier.
I mean, it's one of those things where, and I know because I use the notes on my Mac, and I'll just start typing to that. And you sit there and you start two words and you go, no, and you delete that. And then you go, didn't it? No, nah. And now I use chat as my notes and it starts formulating. And then you see one little bit in it and you go, okay, thank you. Now revise and expand point six to do this and make it in this tone and make it suitable for this audience. And it's like, suddenly, it's like having a little genie in a bottle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. 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 So do you think it's made you more productive, like ChatGPT?
To a point. I think we're all still at this really early stage of exploring. So sometimes, and I am anyone who has met me and knows me will know that I go down rabbit holes really badly. So once something gets into my mind and like any technology is new, we're sometimes a little bit obsessed in trying to stretch it a little bit and test it in different ways and things. So some of that productivity time that you would be normally gaining, you're kind of reinvesting in the tech to see what other scope it's got, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That some of the time I spend on those prompts on AI-powered agents, like I'll spend 2 hours on it so that someone does and he has spent 5 minutes. So completely.
Yeah. I messaged you the other one with that prompt that came through, I'm like, geez, thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned newsletters. So when we got to the bit about newsletters versus EDMs in the course, again, you were kind of all over it. And I think your email marketing is an excellent combination of both EDMs being different to newsletters, like newsletters being a nurture over time and EDMs expecting a result. So, but it was already good before you walked in the door. So can you share the journey of how your newsletter came about and a little bit of your creative process behind it?
So basically it all came out through my coaching experience with Tom Berry. Basically I promised and held and made myself accountable to my coach that I would do a weekly email, because I was doing monthly up until this year. And with a change of CRM, with a consolidation of data and putting everything into one place, I'm like, right, now I am at, because I could see some results coming from it even when it was monthly. And I'm like, okay, whatever's working, double down. Let's do that. So I quadrupled down and I did it. Said I'm going to do it every week. Because again, if we're going to commit to something, if you've got a routine and a discipline and you do it every single, like same time every week, you're more likely to do it. It becomes a normal part of your routine. So
yep.
I had to put my coach in on the email list to make sure. And if it wasn't arriving, I knew I was in for it. Simple as that. So I kind of backed myself into that one. Prior to doing it weekly, it was basically if there was something of interest happening, and, you know, obviously through COVID, we were sending out more emails and things like that. So I had developed some things there. But then it was about finding the balance of real estate without being canned spam.
Yeah.
Your buyers want to know about new listings, but let's be realistic, realestate.com domain, the portals do that for us. So we need to be, and I felt we needed to be giving them a little bit more education and information as opposed to, hey, want to buy a house, that sort of thing. So with the interest rate rises, and we've had a lot to share with consumers over the last 3 years, but over, I'll call it this year, we've had a lot to share with them. And it hasn't been about putting up, oh, rates went up again. Well, yeah, they know that. They're very well aware of that, horrifyingly aware. So what does that actually mean, and what effect is that having on the market? Because people didn't know. They don't know. They then only believe what's in the headlines. So it actually started out with pretty much content around don't listen to the headline, read the article. So whatever was being reported in the news headlines, breaking that back down and going, okay, what does that actually mean? And what is really actually happening in Cranbourne? So the Melbourne market itself is broken, is so many different markets. Most of those headlines didn't affect my market at all. It didn't, yeah. Didn't have headlines. So it was basically interpreting the headlines, breaking them down to what it means for our people, but also telling them a little bit about what's going on in the community, if there's an event coming up that they might like to go to that weekend and things like that. So peppering in real estate, a little bit of education about, so yeah, we still put in a featured property, but it's down the bottom. If they get that far, if they scroll down that far, they see the property, great. But I also put in call to actions on it as well, so that if it does get them thinking, that they've then got the opportunity to react at that point and get a phone call or get an appraisal or whatever they want or need, basically.
Yeah. Everyone sort of complains about the headlines from the mainstream media. So you're taking those headlines, using them for inspiration, bringing it back to what does it mean for my market, so that your little hyperlocal market can hear from you, the expert, on...
It's to interpret it for them, because there were headlines that were happening that were not relevant to where, like, the news and the media focus so much on the auction clearance rate. We're not an auction market.
Yeah.
Relevant. Doesn't, yeah. And it wasn't translatable into our market. So then, because auctions were continually in the headlines and things like that around here, that I put one out, like, why would you auction? And then just had the pros and the cons and said, this is what, you know, this might seem really attractive and it might seem like the ideal scenario, but the likelihood of that happening based on X, Y, and Z is this, and this is why. So it's almost like having, it's like just having a chat to thousands of people.
Yeah. You can't make that many calls in 5 minutes, can you?
You cannot. No. And sometimes it's a blog, sometimes it's a video blog. It depends on my time capacity at point of whether I do a video for it in time, because I always caption the videos and things. So it's basically give them a breakdown of what it means to them.
Yeah.
Not what it means to real estate agents, what it means to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so important, because, you know, like, if you're not in buying or selling mode, the other thing I noticed about your newsletter is you do have some little Easter egg usually in there for people that are not buying or selling, which keeps people from unsubscribing.
Yeah. So it's, like I said, it's about real estate. Most homeowners, though, are a little bit curious. And because of the headlines, they are a little bit curious about what the, even if they're not doing anything, it's just, oh, well, what is the market doing? Like, what is going on? They're seeing less boards. They're seeing less this. What does that mean? Then the community event. So if there's a free movie night, or if there's a networking opportunity, or there's a father-son cooking night or whatever's on with the council, different, like the scouts have got a trivia night coming up, things like that. We just put a little couple of events in so that people can see what's going on. And it's not real estate. It's about what's happening around, out and about. I did try and do a little bit, and I must admit I got a little bit slack on it and dropped the ball on following through on it, of doing like local business cafes and bits and bobs and all those sort of things. I just haven't worked out a way to do it fairly yet. So I'm just parking that for now, but we'll grow with that. We'll grow with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're there. And yeah. I mean, I guess everyone at home, or for the people playing along at home, what sort of return do you reckon you get from your weekly newsletter? Like, does the return on investment stack up with the time spent?
So I think because I layer so many things, look, I know where I now keep horrifyingly accurate records, and I know exactly where every listing, aka sale, has come from in the beginning, which is fantastic. The thing is, you've got to be patient. The email marketing is not, you might get horrifyingly lucky and magically someone is in real estate mode right then and there, and that will happen. But what it is, so most of the people, apart from past sales and past, you know, clients that I've been around for a little while, so apart from those people, the majority of people that are coming into my newsletter field are coming off social media.
Yeah.
So they're coming in top of funnel, fairly cold, but they're curious. Then they get put into the nurture. And then if you're not annoying them, if you're giving them something that has value to them, the unsubscribe rate's fairly low, essentially. I went to one listing appointment, and when we were signing the papers, and she said to me, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who is willing to share as freely as you do, free, like just giving information out to the public, deserves my listing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How good's that?
I know, right?
So I noticed also that you use a lot of video, like you just mentioned social then, but you are very disciplined with creating videos. Did that come naturally to you at the beginning?
No. You know how long I fought social and video? Oh my God. Seriously.
Well, probably.
Oh, man. It gets to a point where you just have to, and I don't know where this came from, age or whatever, but it came to a point where I got over myself and just went, do you know what? These people see me in the street. They see me when I turn up to their house. I am what I am. I am who I am. And I've embraced the your vibe attracts your tribe. So if they don't like me, well, put it this way, if they don't like what they see on the videos and they don't call me out, well, they weren't gonna work with me anyway. So why go?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I think you've got to wrap your head around the time that it takes to, like, so I used to think creating content was, I didn't value it as use of good time back in the day. But as soon as you wrap your head around the fact that creating content is prospecting on steroids, you will become quite addicted to it and get over yourself. And go, there's no other way, like you said before, with the email and with all of, you know, with video, there's no other way that you can impact that many people and reach that many people without it.
Yeah.
So the half an hour it might take me to, you know, depends how many bloopers and how many takes, but then you've got to repurpose that content as well. So you create the content and then you spread it out. So creating it is prospecting. How you spread it out and in what formats and how you repurpose it all, that's the prospecting on steroids, because it just goes everywhere and it's got places to go.
Yeah. And I noticed you just said your vibe attracts your tribe, and you're a little bit cheeky sometimes, you know, like with
No, I'm not.
Well, with a bit of a nudge and a wink, like it's kind of, it's humorous and kind of cute. And I particularly liked, there was a video you did recently, like, the internet says my house is worth. What was the inspiration? Like, how do you come up with the ideas?
My head's a little bit of a scary place. So part of it came up with, we're seeing a lot of the online valuations being spruiked around and all that sort of stuff. And look, as a lead generation and all that, that it is perfectly valuable. And I do it myself as well. But the online, with the way the market is at the moment, the online valuations are getting more skewed off. So if you've got people who are in real estate mode, but start out with that online valuation, that can actually freak them out the wrong way as well. So you're really taking a punt. And I know when I send out online vals, I actually run them first to check that I'm happy with what is going out. Because the last thing you want to do, there was one person who actually said to me that they were negatively affected in their decision process by the auto valuation that they did.
Yeah.
So if people need clarity and they need accuracy to make quality decisions, at what point are we risking our professional or expert or whatever you want to call it, our standing, by just putting out the same stuff that they can do for themselves? Because, you know, you can go on realestate.com, prop track, done. Although they're coming up with more blanks at the moment as well. So there's a movement there that it's not, the data's just not enough there to do it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, like that sort of interesting time does create for interesting content, because somebody else might look at that and go, well, I've got nothing to report. But, you know, I actually love the way that you look at that and you go, well, actually the fact that there's nothing there means that there is something that you know, is going on.
So you dig a bit further. You go down that hole.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of rabbit holes, you mentioned earlier, but I know you do some coaching with Tom Ferry, and I'd kind of call that the, you know, the church of marketing in real estate, Tom Ferry's coaching. Is there anything that you've particularly picked up over the last few years that you think's innovative that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I suppose what drew me to Tom Ferry coaching in particular, and this was back in 2018, we were talking about this before, and I was only at ARIC because of you, Sam, so thank you, was the progression of the church of marketing. It's crazy. Being able to, at the time, there wasn't a lot of social media and a lot of digital coaching available for here within the industry, if that makes sense. So I hadn't looked outside the industry at that point either, but I knew when I saw it that it was something that I'm like, hang on a minute, this is something that I can see where we are going. And let's be honest, we follow America a fair bit in a lot of stuff. So it's really come about for your database out of Tom Ferry, the database, and your sphere. Sphere is something I think we all ignore to our own peril. We've said, you know, and you've said it, do you need more leads or do you need to look after the people that you already know? And Tom Ferry is very big on that as well in regards to how to. So it's knowing what to value and breaking it down. Like before the Tom Ferry stuff, probably one of the key things as well was track and measure, know your numbers. God, I fought that for a long time.
numbers don't lie, right?
Correct. Because it then gives you that predictability of knowing. If you know your numbers, you can predict your business. And that goes for your phone calls, it goes for your emails, it goes for all of that. But it's all the layers. You've just got to layer everything, and it's probably that's the key thing, has been the layers. But also segmenting and making sure you're sending the right messages to the right people at the right time.
That's really good advice, actually. Segment your database.
Oh, don't. I mean, good God. If you look at the buyers, right, you look at buyers that go through open for inspections on weekends and they'll go to 5. Some of them go to 9 or more. Like crazy. I don't get it, but sure. They have all ended. I don't know how they remember that many, but anyway, but they all end up on an agent's database and they will all get the same stuff because at that point, nothing's actually, their preferences haven't been put in. There's no actual details about exactly what they're looking for. You assume that that's what they're looking for is what they came to, but they might be comparing that to something else or doing other bits. The better quality information you have and the better quality information you send increases your conversion because they feel that you are listening to them. But even if you're using automations and all those sort of things, if you set everything up in the background correctly, you can make them feel listened to, make them feel understood without actually investing any more time or effort into it than that one parameter in the back end. That's it. And yeah. then you're giving them what they actually value. And again, our rates go down.
And it's funny, you know, I don't know if a lot of people get this right or articulate it like you just did, but it's just the right message at the right time for the right person.
Yeah. You can't 100% get it right. It's still a mass sort of situation, but, and this is what I wished I had have focused on from day one, the depth of the background information and setting people up correctly in the CRM and in the database to make that, like the amount of time. So COVID was for me, we were very busy with real estate as well, but COVID gave me the time to, God help me, go through about 12 different data sources that I had and clean it up. And I sat there like a spreadsheet geek going through contacts on my phone, searching through old emails, just putting everybody where they needed to be to then come out the other side of that with a seemingly accurate, fit database. And then knowing what to tag them with and where, what to put them into and having that all set up so that now it's scalable, which is the idea. So if you're new, do not resist the database. Just embrace. Just embrace. Trust me.
That is very good.
Do it. You really won't want to do it, but I'm telling you now, 10 years later, you'll thank yourself big time.
Yeah, and I guess it's just worth asking this one question while we're talking about data too. And you just mentioned the word fit database.
Yeah.
But or the phrase fit database. But, you know, some people say that they've got 20,000 contacts or 30,000 contacts on their database, which absolutely, you know,
of course they do. Because they don't clean it up.
Yeah. So smaller quality over quantity.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
For me, every single day. So yeah, when I converted an increased frequency to weekly, yes, I saw a clean out, and that's fine, because I now have people that are in my email list now actually want to hear from me. I believe I may be kidding myself, but the fact that they keep opening the emails and haven't unsubscribed, clearly I'm hopeful that they are wanting to hear from me. I've now introduced the Monday email as well. So this same group of people are now hearing from me twice a week. And I still have a very, very low unsubscribe rate, which is amazing. And the Monday is the sales results for the postcode, which came from our day together. And that has got pretty close to a 50% open rate now. And that's just the 2 weeks in.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm. So as we sort of like, George, there's a couple of things we've got to go before I let you go. And I feel like this could go on forever, but
we will resist.
Mm-hmm. We will resist. Yeah. You have a philosophy of winning from a place of giving, which we've kind of talked about a little bit, but could you share a couple of actionable strategies that talk to that philosophy of yours that you think would be successful for other agents?
So this all, it all comes to the same sort of thing where if you are, I believe in abundance. I don't believe in abundance right now because we don't have an abundance of listings, but in the theory of it is that if I give information, if I give unbiased and just basically give good advice and give an honest overview of what is happening out there, what is in somebody's best interest, and give them the resources and the tools for it, how can you be doing the wrong thing? Yeah. And it will come back. So when you look at, I think I said to you the other day, from a cold lead through to a nurture, so they've been given freely loads of information, loads of opportunities, loads of all that sort of thing, the average conversion rate to get paid for that, 2 years and 9 days in my database.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
But if I'm then going in, let's say, okay, it's 2 years, 9 days to getting paid. So a transaction occurring. Likely over that time, I have given them books to help, you know, what renovations are worth doing before selling. How do I declutter? How do I let go? So for downsizes, things like that. So, or just resources and articles, just information and things like that. So if you keep giving, and it, I suppose it's not giving, it's sharing.
Yeah.
Just being willing to share what you know without any expectation of an immediate dollar, because it's not what it's about. Coming from a place of giving is, I will keep giving you what you need to get you to a place where maybe you'll need me.
Yeah.
At some point. We can't make people sell their houses. Like, they're going to do that in their own time at the time that suits them and is on their timeline. So, but if we can keep, like you said, putting those little Easter eggs in there and just keep putting things in place and being relevant, then to me, that comes back.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. All right, so I'm going to ask you 5 questions, some of which you've already answered, but I'm calling this my fast five because this is a new thing that we're doing today. So I'm going to give you 5 questions and I want you to give me 5 fast answers. And I want you to answer like, I'm some newbie that's come up to you and said, Joe, I need to ask you some stuff. Have you got 5 minutes? So Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. What's one quick change an agent can make in their marketing right now to attract more listings?
Geez, straight in with a boomer. Right now.
Right now.
Can I circle back to that one?
All right. Okay. Number 2, what's your favorite social media app or app on your phone right now and why?
My favorite app right now is Big View.
Oh, okay. Because it's got the teleprompter and all that sort of thing in it. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you suggest a quick tactic to better use your CRM system, whatever it happens to be?
You literally have to set aside time to download your brain at the same time every day into that CRM or you won't do it.
Yeah, good tip. Okay, number 4, what's a time management tip that has worked for you?
And ask me, I'm terrible. Okay, so as everyone will tell you, what I get my rookies to do is basically they go into the CRM first thing at 8 a.m. in the morning, look at what needs to be done, and then they have to allocate those time blocks into the day. You can have an ideal week. You can have all that sort of stuff. I have what's called a discipline day. So we have not negotiable things that must be done every single day in one color. And then we have what ideally is done as well in a different color. And those things are the ones that are ideal, would love done, are interchangeable with appointments. So there's the non-negotiables that have to be blocked in. And then there are the, if you have no money-making appointments, then you do these things as that filler. Because if we don't have that locked in,
our little sales brains just go up and up around, because that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what's your favorite motivational quote and why?
Get that shit done. It's just get that shit done. Yeah. And it's not quite motivational, because I do bash myself up a bit clearly. Because if I'm talking like that to myself, it's just get that shit done.
Yeah. And because this is a bit of a new series where I just kind of really want to talk to real people on the podcast, you have to pay it forward. So remember you're the first, you're like the OG now. You have to pay it forward. So if I was to ask someone else to do this with me, who would you like to hear?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. Someone from around my area. But a little bit further out, but actually from my original patch. And she's a very good egg. She's very straightforward. And she's grown a really good business. Jo Spencer.
Rightio. Jo Spencer, I will be giving you a call for a couple of weeks.
She also very much talks very straight.
Good. We like that. We like that.
Yeah. Funny story is where she is, I actually showed her homes. She was moving into that area. And as I was leaving that area work-wise, she was coming in. So one Joe left and another Joe came in, and it did confuse a few people for quite a while.
Yeah, I think we'll pick that story up with her.
yeah, she can tell you how bad I was.
Not at all. I was just going to say how nice it was. And thank you for coming on and sharing some of your wisdom and knowledge and you know, just really some great actionable advice in that podcast. So thank you for that.
No, I hope so. Thank you. I mean, it's hard from this side of it, because I just do what I do, and it's sort of, I was quite surprised that there was only myself that in that AI day that actually had a regular newsletter going. I mean, I kind of assumed, but
the blazing trails here, Joe.
One email send at a time.
That's it. That was going to be my final question. If there was one thing that you would like to leave everyone with or would like them to remember from this episode, what would it be?
I think the key thing, and it's something, it's boring as all hell, like boring as, and I've already harped on it now, is value. If people give you their information, if they agree to be contacted and agree that you can keep in touch with them in any shape or form, don't take it for granted. Don't spam the poor bastards. Try and actually give them things that they will appreciate and will improve the relationship you've got. Because guess what? You will end up going in for those listings uncontested.
Yeah.
So the time that you spend in developing the base for that, yes, it's going to take time. There's no silver bullet. There's no magic to it. It is something that you just have to decide that it's going to be worth it, because it seriously will. It's one of those things where, and I will admit this on camera because I don't care, because it's true. I have not knocked one door in Cranbourne that I have not been invited into. So I have not door knocked at all. I've chosen, I did it when I first started. I did it in my first marketplace. But the way the world is now, there is a better way to get in front of those people and to build those relationships and to get walk-ups, basically, and get call-ins without doing that. You imagine how long it takes you to door knock a couple of streets. You go and put that time into creating some content that people will be interested in, send it out through a database that you've actually spent some time in to show, we can tell people we care, but show them we care by sending the right stuff. And that's your recipe. Rinse and repeat. Send them things they want each week. And if you want to layer it and go door knocking as well, if that's what you like to do, then go for it. But I'm finding that from what I'm hearing with our people, most people aren't home. They're not answering doors. Things have changed. So you do what works in your market, but prospecting on steroids wins for me every time.
Amazing. Joe Mooney, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide.